You want to hear Baby Kiwi and the Creature in the Kitchen? Well, it's a pretty scary story.
Yikes!
You see, Baby Kiwi, Gypsy Day, Dan, and Greek Smith were playing Monopoly in Baby Kiwi's kitchen. And Gypsy Dave, of course, was trying to cheat a little bit. He was trying to talk everybody into giving him $2 when they passed go instead of taking it themselves. Why should we do that, said Baby Pee-wee. The rules say that each person who passes go gets $2.
Yeah, except that time it I was
on
the
base
and then I went six.
Well, yeah. Well, because I was the banker, I took the liberty of giving it to you when you were on the go sign instead of when you passed, because I knew the next turn you would pass go. It was something of an advance.
Except if I went six.
But Gypsy Dave said, well, if you guys were my friends, you'd give me the $2 when you pass go. Just as a contribution. A contribution towards what, said Greek Smith? A contribution towards my old age, said Gypsy Dave, showing his one tooth. Ha, said Greek Smith, you're no older than I am. I've just taken care of myself better than you. Listen here, said Gypsy Dave. I'm going to get all of the ticket booths on that blue one over there. You're going to pay me $10 every time you come through. Just try it, said Gypsy Dave, said Greek Smith, and you could see what kind of game it was. They weren't playing for fun, they were playing rough, tough junior Monopoly. Well, at one point, Baby Pee-wee said, hey, how'd you guys like some popcorn? Great, said Dan, I love popcorn. I'll go out and get the popcorn, I'll go in there and get the popcorn maker, said Baby Pee-wee. Well, he went to the cabinet where the popcorn maker was, and he opened the door, and there was such a tremendous rattle and clattle that he shut the door right away. What was that? Said Dan. I don't know, said Baby Pee-wee. There's something in that cabinet. Not a rat, said Gypsy Dave. It sounded more like a raccoon or an opossum, said Greek Smith. It might have been a raccoon or an opossum, but how did they get in here? Maybe it burrowed up from the basement. Well, there's only one way to tell, said Baby Pee-wee. I'll get a flashlight. He went and got a flashlight. And he tried to shine it in there, but he didn't see anything. Then he heard a rattle and clattle in the cabinet above the counter. Now, wait a minute. How could it have gotten up there, said Baby Pee-wee. Maybe it's tunneling through the walls, said Gypsy Dave, helpfully. It might be, said Baby Pee-wee, but... gosh, I don't know. We just had this new kitchen installed here a while ago. I don't think there are any tunnels in the walls. Oh, you never know. It could have been digging it quietly all by itself, said Greek Smith. Baby Pee-wee opened that cabinet and shined the light in. Suddenly, a huge hairy fist came out and almost snatched him. He slammed the door and the fist went back in. Whoa, that was no opossum, said Baby Pee-wee. That's some kind of creature. Yeah, said Gypsy Dave.
This story's called The Creature in the Kitchen.
Said Dan. Ah, no wonder, said Baby Pee-wee. The creature in the kitchen. We're in the kitchen, the cabinets are in the kitchen, and that creature is in the kitchen. Well, what should we do? Why, of course, we need to capture it and take it to the zoo, said Baby Pee-wee. That's right.
I don't think so.
They would like to see it. People come in there and they go around and they look at the elephants and the lions and the tigers, and they would like to see this creature too. Anyway, we could have Dr. Snell down there, the staff zoologist, study it and tell us what it is. Well, what did it look like, said Gypsy Dave. Dan said it looked to me like it might have been the abominable snowman. The abominable snowman? It's not snowing here. Well, it had the look of a yeti about it, said said Dan.
Or something Wookiee.
Well, it kind of looked like a Wookiee. Anyway, it was certainly some fictitious beast. I'll say it was fictitious, and yet it almost grabbed me, said Baby Pee-wee. Well, look, this is no time for idle chit-chat. We've got to get that thing out of here. What'll happen to Ruby when she starts to cook supper? You're right, said Greek Smith. We've got to get it out of here for her sake. What do you suggest? Well, we can coax it out into the kitchen. Let's do that. Open all the doors. And we opened all the cabinet doors. It's nothing. They shined their flashlight in there, and there were no holes in anything. Well, gosh, Baby Pee-wee, it's not coming out. Well then, said Gypsy Dave, the only thing we can do is go in after it. You're right, said Baby Pee-wee. Who's coming with me? I'll come, said Van. I'll stay here, said Gypsy Dave, in case the phone rings. Me too, said Greek Smith. You never can tell. It might be an important call. All right, said Gypsy Baby Pee-wee, but unfortunately, Dan and I are the only ones the right size to go in after this thing. You coming with me, Dan? Yep, said Dan. I'm right behind you every step of the way. So they closed all the doors but one, and they took the flashlight and moved all the stuff out of that cabinet and went in. Closed the door behind them. Whoosh! A big fist, hairy fist came by and snatched Dan. Eek, said Dan. Wow! Whoa! Dan, are you all right? Dan! Oh my goodness, Dan's been captured by that beast. But where is he, said Baby Pee-wee. The only thing I can figure is there must be some sort of dimensional door in here, that he's going back and forth between two dimensions. This one and a parallel dimension. I'll turn my magic sword into a dimension identifier and find the door between the two dimensions. Baby Pee-wee pulled out his magic sword and with the magic words, dimension identifier. The sword changed shapes, transformed itself into a sort of little tablet-like thing with two little buttons on the bottom. Those buttons could identify coordinates in the cabin. Baby Pee-wee fiddled with the buttons until suddenly he saw a beam of red light. Beep, beep, beep. A dot of red light in the middle of the button of the identifier, and it pointed directly to a spot in front of him where another red light was shining. Baby Pee-wee now turned the other button, which could open dimensional doors, and slowly a door parted. And there he could see something that made his hair stand on end. It was a dimension in which all the beings except one were great hairy beasts. And
was Dan,
unfortunately. And they had put Dan in a cooking pot that they had taken from the cabinet, and they were about to put him on a big fire right in the middle and cook him up. Oh no you don't, said Baby Pee-wee, lunging through the door. He grabbed Dan, and Dan stood behind him. Let's see that coin. Let's see that coin, said Baby Pee-wee. We might need it. Baby Pee-wee used it as a little frisbee and threw it at one of the beasts. It bopped him on the head and knocked him right out and came right back. But Baby Pee-wee could see that it wasn't working very well there, so he gave the coin back to Dan and decided to use his magic sword. Unfortunately, they had lost the spot where the door between the dimensions had closed, and they needed to find it again. What was odd about this world was that it must have been turning more rapidly than the Earth, because everything was changing all the time. At one point, they thought there was a tree behind them. Then they looked, and it was nothing but a bush. Then they looked, and it was nothing but a seedling. Wait a minute, said Baby Pee-wee. Could it be going back in time? But as if to confound that theory, they looked again, it was a seedling. They looked again, it was a bush. They looked again, it was a tree. Things were growing and getting smaller and growing and getting smaller. And meanwhile, there was a hill behind them, and the hill went away. There was a stream coming right toward them, and the stream dried up, and then they saw it on the other side. Oh, said Baby Pee-wee, this world is much too confusing. No wonder those people are unhappy here and want to come into our world. I don't know, said Dan. I think they just want to come into our world for a snack, and I'm afraid that snack was me. And it looks like they've got their eyes on you, too. Baby Pee-wee looked up, and they were surrounded in a ring by these abominable snowmen or Wookiees or whatever they were. Slowly they were coming towards them, one step at a time. They knew they had all the time in the world, and Baby Pee-wee and Dan were their helpless victims. Another step. Baby Pee-wee held his sword menacingly. He said, now, I've only got a few seconds here before they come. I could turn my sword into a weapon and mow them down, or I could turn it back into the dimensional door identifier and find that dimensional door. I've got to make the decision quickly. I know. I'll flip the coin. He got Dan's coin out and he flipped it. He says, heads, I turn it into a weapon. Tails, I turn it into the dimensional door identifier. Heads, I turn it into a weapon. He turned his sword into a weapon, and he decided he would turn it into a gale force blaster and just blast those Wookiees away. And so with the magic word gale force blaster, he turned around. but he was blasting them away. He was blasting them down, and they were rolling like bowling balls, because it turned out that these Wookiee-like things turned into bowling balls when they got blasted. And they rolled and rolled and rolled, and soon there were none of them around. Quick, said Baby Pee-wee, now I'll turn it into a dimensional door identifier, and he did. And he turned the buttons and found the coordinates. A red light shone in the middle, and a red light shone where the dimensional door was. He forced open the door with his two hands, and there they could see the cabinet out in front of him, the kitchen cabinet with all the pots and pans. Jump through, Dan. Dan jumped through, and now the Wookiees were descending on him again. The abominable snowman-type things had reverted from being balls to their true, tall, monstrous, hairy selves, and they were coming. One was grabbing at Baby Pee-wee's legs as he forced his way through. He kicked back. He used the magic lightning bolt, spat on him, and threw it through the door. There was a huge explosion that blasted Baby Pee-wee back through the cabinet and out onto the floor. Well, said Gypsy Dave, the phone didn't ring. Nope, said Grief Smith, sure didn't. Hope you boys didn't need any help in there. Not exactly, said Baby Pee-wee, but I've got to do something before we can play anything else. He got his dimensional door finder, set the coordinates on freeze up, and he froze up that door by pushing the button marked on. And he checked again. The dimensional door had been closed permanently. So he got the popcorn maker out, and they started popping popcorn. Baby Pee-wee had worked up a sweat from that fight, and Dan had worked up a sweat just from the fear of those Wookiee-like creatures. Baby Pee-wee cooked up the popcorn, and they got out some juice and fizz from the refrigerator, and they ate the popcorn and drank the juice, and that is the end of the story.